We've been talking through these things, walking in newness of life, walking in the Spirit, practicing the presence of God, developing this attentive awareness of the presence and empowerment of the Spirit in our lives. And I think I pulled up this quote a couple weeks ago from a guy named David Benner. How does one come to love another but by paying loving attention to that person? You cannot have a love relationship without attention. That's intentional and regular. And I have another quote from David Benner here that's a bit longer. I don't know how small the font's going to be on this screen, but I'm going to read this from the screen here. But God wants our attentiveness to him to be so habitual that we go through our days figuratively with our palms upturned, hands open, gaze heavenward. In every circumstance of our life, our question should be, where is God in this? With every breath, we're invited to make an offering of gratitude. We talked about that. I saw that and I was like, thank you, David. That's right on theme. Gratitude for and remembrance of our blessings. In every encounter with stranger or intimate, we're given a chance to see the divine reflection, humans made in the image of God. In every moment, we are offered an opportunity for our longing for God's kingdom to be the framework within which we choose and act. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Attention. And so I've been reflecting on this idea of our attention, and the natural next step to this is looking at what does Scripture say about not just being in the Lord's presence, but hearing God's voice and responding to him as he leads. And I just kind of had this block, and I kind of gave a little bit of a clue to it last week. And I wasn't planning really on doing a whole talk on this, but I talked about technology at the very tail end of last week's message. And I've made a lot of passing comments about social media and technology over the last, I don't know, couple years. And I've done a lot of work personally in terms of, you could call it technological hygiene for my own life in the last 5 years especially. And I've seen what a difference it's made in my own life, in my own spirit, in my own way of being and feeling in the world. And I'm more and more convinced we cannot possibly talk about these ideas about awareness of God's presence, for one thing, but to kind of take that next step to talking about attentive awareness and even listening for the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, right? Like Jesus said that. We just cannot possibly be hearing the voice of God attentively when our minds and souls are filled and consumed and addicted to an endless stream of media, inputs, voices, scrolls, opinions, of everything that's going on in everybody else's life, every moment of every day. It's just not possible. There's no way that you can be regularly, almost constantly, any downtime of a day or moment. And I know this isn't necessarily everyone's, that doesn't necessarily describe everyone's media habit, but we can't practice attentive awareness and awareness of God's presence and attentiveness to his voice, if any downtime we have is just a beeline to a distraction, if we have the attention span of pick any bug the size of a fingernail, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't do my bug attention span research in preparation for this today, so you can Google it. But before we do some practical things to just kind of think about this or take a step in that direction, just we're going to do a little bit of a buffet on just some passages, some really important passages that are, most of these are not going to be new at all. They're ones that we've referenced a lot. If you've spent any significant amount of time in church, you've seen these passages a lot. And it's just interesting how much, when you think about it, they have a lot to do with our attention, and we don't normally think about it in those terms. Let's just start with this one here, Colossians 3. You've been raised with Christ, so seek the things above. That's about attention. That's about longing. Seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I don't know about you, and in preparation for this talk, I decided I was going to actually like spend some time on Facebook this week, and I made it like 20 minutes. I suffered, and I spent 20 minutes this week just scrolling. I said, I'm not going to stop anything. I'm just going to scroll for 20 minutes, and I felt like a part of me died. Seriously, I felt so gross. I was like, I saw stuff just from people I don't even know, some people I do know. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Like, I don't even, people from different ages of my life that I have no association with whatsoever anymore. And it's like, oh, that's what they're doing now. Like, I was like, I don't need to know that. Do I really care? No. Does this have anything to do with my life or anything meaningful or significant? No. I saw things that were just terrible, things happening, like videos of people doing ridiculous things. I did see a couple funny things, and I did laugh a couple times, okay? A couple funny things. But it wasn't, like, good. It was just gross. And I know Facebook is not the only platform, but there was never one moment in that where I was like, oh, this is helping me set my mind on things above. This is helping tune my soul to the frequency of what the Spirit is doing in my life right now. Zero of that was happening from what I was seeing on the screen in front of me, okay? Let's go to the next one here. I think it's Hebrews, yeah. Lay aside every hindrance, sin that easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Attention, focus, removing distractions, removing things that are keeping me locked into Christ. My identity in him, the meaning that my life has, the entire trajectory of my life is rooted in who Jesus is and what he has done and who he has made me to be. Anything that's not helping me do that is just kind of a waste of my time. Let's go to the next one. We're going to look through these pretty quickly. James 4. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, again, we know he's always near. He's everywhere. But we're talking about a qualitative experience here. We're talking about an awareness, a communion. But what prevents that from happening? Sin. if I'm just living openly in some area of my life where I just know I'm clearly doing something that is not God's best for me, what God has said, like, this is not in alignment with my instructions, right? Anything God instructs us, any guidelines or boundaries he lays for us are for our good. And they enable us to enjoy his presence in a qualitative, real, lived way. That's what we saw from Genesis to Revelation. We talked about relationships and rules and how relationships have rules. Anyone who says Christianity, it's not about rules, it's just about a relationship with Jesus, it just doesn't. Every relationship has rules. You can't just do whatever you want in somebody else's presence and enjoy being with them, or them enjoy being with you, right? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That, we could spend a long time just unpacking that little phrase. The relationship between heart and mind. The relationship between purity and double-mindedness. The idea of purity being unmixed. Something that is pure is not, it doesn't have a bunch of other stuff mixed into it that tarnishes the essence of what it is. If you have a heart that is just loaded in with a bunch of junk, that affects our relationship with God. That affects our ability to experience and enjoy his presence, the presence that we were made to walk in. The presence that is the source of life, meaning, joy. And it's interesting where we see this phrase, we can keep going, we see this from Jesus, I think I have from the Sermon on the Mount here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who will see God. The pure in heart, those who are just have a singular focus, singular desire, a singular longing, seek first the kingdom of God, right? You're not living for all the things I can get from this world with Jesus thrown in. The Jesus that I've recruited to be the person to help me get all of the things of this world that I think will make me happy, right? Jesus says, no, that's not how this works. Let's keep going. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Guard your heart. That is really hard to do when you are putting yourself at the mercy of an algorithmically curated platform that is just taking you on its will for your life on any given moment. You can't guard your heart when a computer is taking the most emotionally charged content on any given topic, and its entire purpose is to put in front of you the thing that is going to charge your emotional wheels and get your brain and heart and mind spinning, because that's what keeps people hooked. That's what's going to keep people's attention. And billions of dollars are being spent on our attention. That is what every platform exists for. Not for people to be well informed, not for people to be formed into better human beings. Platforms exist to make money off of our attention. And they don't care how they do it. Guard your heart above all else. Psalm 119. Prayer. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless and give me life in your ways. Attention. The power of our attention. I think we're going back to the Gospels here. Is this the next one in Matthew? Yeah, Matthew 13. The parable of the sower. One of those four seeds, the four soils, I should say, sown among thorns, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth, but the worries of this age choke the word, choke the message, choke out the gospel of Jesus is king. He's come to establish his kingdom, a new way of life, a new way of being, a reign of love, walking in newness of life. The worries of this age choke that message in the hearts and minds of people, and it becomes unfruitful. And that's all we get from the stream. That's all we get from the news feed. The worries of this life is just a never-ending stream. The worries of this life. Here's another worry. Here's another thing for you to be worried about. Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing for you to be worried about. Here's the next thing to be anxious about. Here's the next thing to wonder about. Here's the next thing to be concerned about. Here's the next thing for you to disagree with somebody about. And that's only if you're one of the people who doesn't actually post anything on these platforms. You're just there, right? You're just a recipient of what other people are doing. If you're actually putting yourself out there and you're posting content, now not only are you exposed to all of the things, but every moment of the day, your brain is being trained to think about what's happening with what you put on there. What are people saying? And you're thinking of just the next moment that you're going to go on and see who liked it. Did anybody respond to it? And your brain is completely consumed with this worry about this binary code of zeros and ones. When there's just like real people around you and a God who's longing to draw near to you, but your attention and your mind is somewhere else. Next one here from, I think, is Luke. Yeah, Luke 9. Jesus is ministering, preaching, speaking, and he's telling people. Earlier in Luke 9:23, he said, right, we have this on the memorization on the card. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so people are like, okay, Jesus, but first I got something to do. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, they did not have social media. They did not have this kind of technology in the first century, obviously. And we could talk about, you know, is Jesus talking about like little momentary distractions in this verse? You can make the argument. He's really talking about a bigger kind of life orientation, right, in some ways. But just the image of this, the idea of putting your hand to the plow, the idea of this, the illustration of this is so powerful. Thinking about focus and attention and what it's like when we live life with our attention somewhere else. It's like on any given day, if we ask God, what do you have for me today? And that's like us pushing our plow in the soil of our life And just imagine someone trying to like push a plow in a farm or do something like while scroll, like look, and you've got like your elbow, you're like trying to do it with your elbow and you're like doing it like this, you know, like the weird ways we try to contort our bodies to like still look at our phone. Or even just think about people who are driving and looking at their phone, the people that just drive us mad at a traffic light. I was driving back, I saw Kevin, he's at a new rehab facility off of Lincoln Street. And keep thinking about Kevin, keep praying about Kevin as you think of him. He's at Regal Rehab. If you wanna stop in and see him, drop in and see Kevin, just say hi. Literally, there's no security, you just walk in. I'm serious. Just walk in and be like, I'm Jim. They're like, all right, write your name. He's in here, you know, like there are no walls, you know, like just, you just go right in there. But I was leaving and I was driving home and there the person behind me, so I'm distracted because I'm watching the person behind me, okay? But they literally, they had something in their lap. And so like they're gonna break their neck. Literally, it was like they're down and looking up, and they were looking down, and then they would look up really fast to like see, do I need to drive? And I'm like, why don't you at least just like hold the phone up in front of you or something? And it's like what you're doing is way more obvious that you're looking at your phone. Like this is absurd. Let's go to the next one. That might be the last one I put on here. I meant to write all these. I did all these on slides, and I forgot to write them down on my own notes. So, you know, another fail. Anyway, a guy named John Mark Comer, a few years ago, he wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he was inspired to have that title after talking, I believe, it was with Dallas Willard. He went and had a conversation with Dallas Willard, and he was like, what is the one thing that Christians need to know in order to, you know, really move forward in their walk with the Lord? And what he shares is that Dallas Willard told him, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. And so John Mark Comer wrote a book the way John Mark Comer does. And so as I reflected on that, and I saw a copy of the book in Target the other day, I was like, oh, Target's like selling this book right now? It's like 6 years old, but cool. And I just thought, I was like, this is appropriate for us to experience the life that Jesus invites us to and really calls us to. We must ruthlessly eliminate distractions from our lives, especially ones that are intentionally designed to rage bait you. Okay? There are some things that are kind of like, you know, you want to watch a World Cup soccer game, right? And your family is there, right? Whatever. Like, that's fine. Whatever. But this is different, right? There's so many quotes. There's so many sources I could pull up. I could talk about books I've read and books that are being written. And there's basically not a single source that you could read or find that's out there saying, social media has made the world a better place. Social media is going to bring new meaning and life and connection to your life. It's like, social media is great for your kids. It's a great way for them to develop friendships and meaningful connections. We must ruthlessly eliminate distractions from our lives. So what I want for us to try today, I think, is my very next slide, this some instructions, a little experiment, I think. Has anyone here ever done this where you've like gone into your phone settings and just kind of taken some inventory of your screen time on a given week? So I want us to do this now. I'm not going to make anybody share their answers, but I just want to give everybody an opportunity right now to do this. So if you have an Apple device, whether you have Apple or Android, it's pretty straightforward. And this isn't about guilt or anything like that. This is just about understanding the reality for you personally and being able to take tangible action in response to that, to take a step, your next step. So on Apple, it's just going to settings, and they have a screen time item there right within the settings. And then you can filter it. It's going to show you, like, most frequently used, or you can filter by social apps. You can filter by apps individually. On an Android, in the settings, there is a digital well-being item. You got to scroll down pretty far to get to it. And then there's a little graph that you can tap on, and you can kind of scroll through that graph and see your whole week. You can see the individual apps underneath. But take a couple minutes here. I'll give maybe like at least a full minute to just kind of get a little bit of a sense of your own daily, weekly media screen time engagement. And keeping in mind, you know, we could talk about the situations like, well, if I have to use social media for my work, there's that kind of situation. And so you're going to have to try to think through, okay, how much of this is legitimately like I had to do this for work, and how much of it is me just getting kind of sucked in on any given moment throughout my day. In America currently, the general kind of average amount, total screen time in a given day for the average American is approximately 7 hours on average. And now again, for some people, that's all screen time combined. So someone like myself, my work is on a screen, right? And so that's factored into that. Like, I'm on a computer. That's screen time, right? When it comes to social media time, though, that average is a little over 2 hours per day. Now, that's average for all people. The number for young people, it's like 3, 4 plus. It's like, it's really bad. So if your kid has a device and you let them have social media apps on that device, you should be very concerned about that. That's all I'll say about that. We should talk about that. Hours and hours of a day, of a week. Of distraction. And so the next question is to think about depending on what you see, right, in your own usage, it's kind of like if you live for some amount of time and you didn't have a budget, and then all of a sudden you started budgeting or you started really tracking your expenses, and you realize, like, how much money do I actually spend eating out every month, right? Has anyone ever, like, had that experience? Yes. I see that hand. When you actually kind of rein things in, you're like, okay, I got to get control of this area, right, financially. And you're like, okay, whoa, like, I didn't realize that much money was going toward this. And we can have similar experiences like that with our time. When we start to track, how much time do I actually spend on this? And you honestly ask the question, is this worth that much of my time? Is this worth that much of my finances, right? Is there a better thing I can do with that money? Can I plan better so that I don't have to eat out as much, right? And you start thinking about, okay, what are some of the underlying things causing this money to fly out the window? What are some of the things that are causing this time? And really, more importantly, we're talking about my attention. And not just my attention in the moment, but what this is doing to me is creating these gears that are spinning beneath the surface while I'm not even on these platforms. It's doing things in me that have ongoing effects in my body and in my soul. And so there's so much we could talk about that, but the first step to doing anything about it, again, is awareness. And in terms of taking steps to reduce, if you're seeing, okay, man, again, I know there's some people that's like, this may not even apply to you, right? And maybe it's just helpful, maybe it's just a reminder, and so that's fine. But you may be in a situation where you're like, yeah, this has an unnecessary amount of influence in my life, my time, and my attention. A couple things. I've read a lot of things. I've listened to a lot of things. And some of the best tips that I've heard on this next slide, the first one is one that I didn't, I mean, if you've probably seen some of this. Let's go to that next slide. Yeah. A couple practices that can help reduce and create friction between you and these technologies that are inherently addictive. You're like, are you telling me to get a landline phone? No, that's not what that means. But it's called landlining your phone, landlining your device. So this is, you've probably seen things where it's like people put their phone, they go in their house, they put their phone in a basket, right? They put their phone, some people lock their phone. In schools now, more and more schools are implementing like it's a new thing, like I don't even understand. Schools have kids like tapping their phones on things at the classroom door and it kind of kills the device until you tap it again. There's things like that. But landlining your phone is something like saying, there is a spot in our house where our devices lie. They're plugged in, they're there, and if I need to do something on my phone, I have to go to that spot and do what I need to do there. And then I leave it there. And we're not going through everywhere we go at all moments of the day where the phone is in my pocket. Okay? Where at the slightest prompt or phantom vibration, I'm going to take, to look, and to just get on that current that's just going to pull me in, right? This creates space and friction from that process, okay? Landlining your phone. And again, are there maybe exceptions? Are there situations where you're like, well, here's the 1.5 reasons why that's just not possible. Okay, well, maybe you could do this more than you currently do, right? There's always caveats to anything, but you could do something that works for you. Schedule a time and purpose. If you need to use certain platforms and it's necessary and you have a reason for doing it and a purpose for doing it, you can schedule time that where you say, okay, I am going to block off a certain period of time to do what I need to do on a particular platform. Even if it's something as like, I want to just check in and see what my friends are doing. If that's something that is meaningful to you and you see that as a valid, helpful reason that's life-giving to you, schedule time to do that rather than being sucked in over and over and over again at every moment of your day. Something also that happens powerfully when you schedule time, if you feel weird scheduling time to use your social platforms or whatever tech, or even if it's like going to news websites and seeing things, which like that's also kind of cringy. Like if that's, you know, if you like getting your news from these sites, that may not be the best source for news. That's another conversation. But if it feels weird to like schedule time for this, like you're gonna schedule time during your day to say like, okay, family, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm going on social media. This is my scheduled time for this. If that kind of feels weird to you, that might tell you that maybe this isn't worth your time, right? If it's not worth me scheduling time for this, then it's probably not really worth your time. And if you're scheduling time for social media, but you don't schedule time to like be in God's word and devote time for like prayer and practicing the presence of God, that should tell you something too, right? Like that's maybe something to think about, right? Another helpful thing, more and more things like this are available. They're called launchers. And it's the idea of when you open your phone, it's the interface that you interact with. So phones have a default interface, but you can download, it's called a launcher onto your phone, and there's different ones available for Android or Apple, but it just significantly simplifies the user interface of your phone. And so like I have one on Android where it's literally just, if I want to go to apps, all of my apps on here are just text. There's no images, there's no icons, it's like very simple colors. All of those things are designed to like visually get you in there and keep you in there. So things like this just create friction and additional barriers. Now, all of these things like that, it's like you could turn it off, you could take it away, right? But it's different. It's kind of like there's an army coming for your attention, and you're just building walls that impede the onslaught, right, that's coming for your attention and your time and your heart and your mind, okay? The one that I have on my phone on Android is called O Launcher. O, just the letter O, Launcher. And it's totally free. It's open source. A really popular one that I saw for Apple Android is called Blank Spaces. You'll probably see that, but there's lots of ones. You could do some research if that's something you think would be helpful for you or meaningful. And these are just a few that I've, the scheduling a time that's more of a mental practice just to kind of think about. I don't know how many people actually schedule time for that. But landlining is, especially if you're in a household and family around, you have kids around, this is a great way to practice, just being present at home. And wow, they are going for it over there. I don't know what's happening right now. That's wild. It's a party, which is exciting. So these are things. These aren't necessarily spiritual practices, but these are means to the goal, the end here, the thing we're aiming for is developing, practicing greater awareness, greater attentiveness to the Spirit's presence and empowerment. And we're going to begin talking about, like, what does this mean when we are looking in Scripture and we're seeing things like Jesus saying, the sheep hear my voice, right? We're seeing how the Spirit leads and moves and prompts, and we have all kinds of different words for that, depending on the church scene you're in or around or what people are saying. Between some people will say, like, you know, the Spirit, like, kind of prompted me, and some will be like, God told me to tell you this. God gave me a vision, right? And we have different words and things, and Some of these things are like maybe people are saying, meaning the same thing, but using different words. Or So we're just going to kind of talk about all of that and ultimately say, like, okay, what's really going on with this? But we just don't have a shot at even taking any of those tangible steps and growing in these areas without addressing the other side of that coin, which is the onslaught of all of the things that are vying for our attention at the same time. I think, did I put one more passage on here? Did I put Philippians on here? Yeah. Again, this is just kind of a good one, a good reminder. Paul, he says, finally. I put this on here last because Paul says, finally. So I thought this would be a good clue, a reminder to me to just wrap it up. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, this is that virtue, arete. When we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, and Peter says, man, these are the things that I want to stir up in you. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, moral excellence, anything praiseworthy. Dwell on these things. The word dwell there is the verb form of the word logic. You think about logic, the whole world of logic for us is it's like intense thought and reasoning and working with ideas and taking things over here and putting things together and making sense out of things. This idea of dwelling on these things is like whatever mental energy capacity you have, just pour it into things like this. And so just kind of use this as a filter and a framework that says, okay, how much of what I am allowing to pour into my heart and mind and eyeballs from whatever amount of screen time I'm engaging in on a daily basis, how much of it is just like checking all of these boxes, right? And again, not a guilt trip by any means, but it's a, there is a world of better available to us. We're called to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so if there is an obvious source of working against that process, it's just a no-brainer to say, okay, this is something we should really take seriously. Our attention. We must ruthlessly eliminate distraction from our lives. If we want to experience that awareness, that presence, communion with God, is so much better than the stuff that we just kind of let flood in. So let's keep leaning into that this week. Keep leaning into, keep practicing. If you didn't touch it this week, again, my challenge, encouragement for this week is practice that awareness, examine. I meant to have some more of the handouts this week because I know some people missed it last week. If you didn't hear that last week, that message is online. I don't normally, I'm not like, hey, listen to what I said, but I really believe it will significantly make a difference in your life. I genuinely believe anything you can practice that helps you train your mind to be more aware of what God is doing moment by moment, that's a really good thing for you and for me. It benefits my life. So I want to encourage you to lean into that and spend some time this week whatever observations, whatever the reality is that you can see on your phone that's telling you, hey, this is just straight up how much time you're on these platforms. Take some time to process, okay, is this what I want my reality to be? If not, take potentially some of those practical steps. And there's just a world of resources available. Again, like we could spend, this could be a whole seminar on tech resources and digital hygiene and all of those things. And if at any point, if you like need or want more resources, or what are some good books to read or some podcasts to listen to, just let me know and I can point you in a lot of good directions. But I think most of us kind of know. We just like know, like, okay, yeah, this is an area I kind of need to be intentional about. And so my encouragement for all of us is to do that, and to do that in an intentional way this week.